As you remain standing, take them over to 1 Thessalonians, where we first started off at. We're going to continue there and go into our next point this morning, censorship, abiding in the censorship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start reading down there at verse number 15. Now, Paul here is concluding this epistle to the church at Thessalonica and was only here a short time. And just giving them some various things to consider and to concern themselves with and whilst he is not with them. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we'll start in verse number 14. Amen. I said 15, didn't I? They all look so good. Amen. Amen. Let's start at verse number 12. Amen. Let's start at verse 11. Amen. They all look. We're not going to preach all these. I know y'all said we'd be here all day, man, preaching. No, I just want to get you to understand what Paul is going through here as he's giving the last words to this church here and encouraging them. By the way, this was a model church. Paul is writing to them and encouraging them on many different things as a model church here. But notice verse number 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, that would be the elders there, and be at peace among yourselves. That makes it easier for the pastorate. Amen. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By the way, that'll preach for Thanksgiving as well. In everything, give thanks. Say good times, everything. Bad times, everything. Give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. He says, test some things, and that which is good, hold on to it. Then our verse 22, read that with me. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what he's saying there? Censor some things. Censor some things. Watch out for certain things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart for his use. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way to do that is to follow what he has already said. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. It's God's job to do these things through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Guess the unholy don't get this. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The verse again says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Read that with me again. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We started this a couple weeks ago, gave you the introduction about sanctification, how that principle goes into this. Then last week we talked about the first point, things to cut in the censorship. Today we're going to talk about things to curtail in the censorship. Things to curtail in the censorship. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together, that your name would be glorified. Holy Spirit, take charge and help me to say that which needs to be said and that which need not be said. Lord, refrain those things from my mind and my mouth. Lord, I pray that the hearers may be attentive this morning and that everyone has come to hear the word of God. But Lord, not just being hearers of the word, but we want to leave being doers of the word as well. And Lord, so I pray that you speak to each and every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, Lord, and the things that we need to take heed to, the things that we need to apply, that we would grab them from the scriptures this day. The Spirit of God may magnify these things to us. And Lord, we would leave here differently than when we came in. Lord, there's some people probably today that need to be born again. Help them to see their great need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some Christians here today that need to censor some things in their life a little bit better. And I do pray for them as they abide in the ship that they would be cautious and careful of the things that they need to do. Perhaps there's just some Christians that are abiding in the censorship, but they will be attacked throughout this week and in the weeks ahead. They need to gird up the loins of their mind and be sober unto the end. Lord, they need to walk the walk of Christ. Whatever the need is today, Lord, I know not, but you know. Holy Spirit of God, give what is necessary. Save lives, save souls. Lord, help people to repent and help us to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, we love you, and praise you, Lord, for what you've already given to us through song, now through the sermon, and through the message. Lord, I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Bless the special, and Lord, the children's program and the nursery. Give them all a wonderful time of ministry. And we'll thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, sometimes God gives us the opportunity to soar above the problems. Amen. And sometimes we have to actually go through the problems, amen. I'm so glad that he told David, said that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, amen. He said, I got to walk through it, amen. He said, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, praise God. I'm so glad we have a comforting God, a God that does everything that we need him to do and delivers every time if we would just allow him. Well, amen. Presently, we are in the censorship. It is the second one down from the top, amen. We've covered many of the ships so far. And how many of y'all believe we're going to cover all these ships before the year's out? Y'all have no vote of confidence in me? I don't have a vote of confidence in myself either, amen. If I did do them all, amen, I would not serve them any justice. So you might get a snippet of them in the next year to come, amen. There's no way I'll be able to cover them all. But I do trust that I'll get a chance to do a little bit more before the end of the year. And I have to get into the Christmas messages, amen. But we're talking about abiding in the censorship right now. Let me give you the definition. Gave this a couple weeks ago. Censorship means this: removing things before getting exposed to them. It also means regulating impulses and stimuli from the unconscious before reaching your consciousness. It's taking things out before letting them in. That's censorship. And I mentioned this, that abiding in the censorship will vary from Christian to Christian depending on their spiritual maturity. And so before discussing that, the very first thing that we talked about was sanctification. You say, preacher, why did you talk about sanctification first? Because we never want to get into the mindset or the idea that if I avoid sin, that makes me godly. Amen. What did I say? Getting close to God makes me godly. Amen. And so I never want to get into that mindset because I don't do certain things that makes me holy. Amen. Only God can make you holy. God, he said, be ye holy for I am holy. And so never want us to get into the mindset of saying, I'm going to abstain from all appearance of evil, and that's going to make me holy. You are gravely mistaken. Abstaining from evil does not make you godly. Amen. No more than I going into a garage makes me a car. Okay? How many of y'all go into the garage with your car? Does that make you a car too? No. And so abstaining from evil doesn't make me godly. Amen. Getting close to God makes me godly. Amen. You let your children drive the car, they're going to go through the garage. Amen. And so, you know, my children want to drive already. Amen. They say because they can drive Mario Kart, they know they can drive the car. Amen. Mario Kart, though you run people over, you have these stink bombs or whatever they call them, amen, bananas and all this other stuff. You can run off the road and run people off the road. It's okay. In real life, that does not work, amen. And so just because you drive Mario Kart does not make you a good driver, amen. All right, so we talked about sanctification. And sanctification is this. It is setting someone, taking someone from out of the world and then setting them apart from the world and setting them to God for his use. And the closer we get to God, the godlier we become. And so the goal is to keep my eyes focused on God and God alone. So, preacher, why do we need to abstain from appearance of evil then? Because at times you will take your eyes off the goal. Amen. You will get detoured and you will get mesmerized by things around you. And when you get mesmerized by things around you, your goal is to say, I don't need to see that. That appears to be evil. Let me refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You look over this side. Well, you know, I don't need to see that. That appears to be evil. I need to focus on the Lord. And so the end goal then is sanctification, or getting closer to God. And as I get closer to God, I get further from the world. And as I go through life, I have to keep focused. But when I lose focus, I have to recognize that appears to be evil. I can't look at that. And that is the goal of what Paul is talking about here. And that is why we looked at the principle of sanctification. Because the principle of sanctification is not trying to stay away from sin, but drawing closer to God and getting further away from sin and the world. How many of y'all drive down the highways? Amen. The equivalent would be, know that you're going to Washington, D.C., Braswell, and you avoid all the other exits on the way to Washington, D.C. I'm going home, amen. And so he's driving down the highway, and the exits would be those things that appear to be evil. He says, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at D.C. I'm going home. I'm watching the Washington Redskins, amen. And they're going to win today. They're going to win today. And so the equivalent of Sanctification, going towards God, is say, I'm going down the highway of life. I'm avoiding all the evil exits. I'm not taking them. Why? Because they appear to be evil. I've got one goal, and the goal is to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my goal. I avoid the exits on the road of life that appear to be evil. And if you don't do that, my friend, you will get involved in things that appear to be evil and that will actually be evil. Amen. So the goal for the Christian is to get closer to God, not try to avoid sin. However, the closer I get to God, the further away from sin I should get. Amen. And so we talked about in the censorship, we have to cut some things. And so last week we talked about things to cut in the censorship. And I mentioned this. These are known sins, obvious things that can harm us. And they will harm us physically or spiritually or maybe testimonially, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, or socially. These things need to be cut out. And so some things to cut out in the censorship. Our goal, again, it should be to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and abstain from the evil that is there. And so as I cut some things out of my censorship, amen, the Ten Commandments we saw is a good guide to use. But guess what? I mentioned this. You and I, if we're saved, we're not under the law. Amen. We have something greater than the law. What's that? The inward leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And because the Spirit of God is in us, we don't need an outside law to tell us what to do. Amen. Why? The Spirit of God tells us what to do. But hold up. The Spirit of God is going to tell you what to do based on the Word of God. Don't get your own ideas of what you think the Spirit's trying to tell you to do. If you don't have the confirmation of the Word of God, people get in so much trouble because, oh, the Spirit told me, the Spirit told me. Spirit's not going to tell you anything to contradict this book. Amen and amen. Amen. Somebody help me, amen. You get folks who say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. Really? Did he tell you to stop smoking? The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. Did he tell you to stop them drugs? The Holy Spirit told me this. Did he tell you to stop lying? They want to tell you what the Holy Spirit told them, but what did the Holy Spirit tell them? So the Spirit's not going to tell you something contrary to the Word of God. If you do that, that's not right. Let's just be honest. Amen. And so when you look at this area here of censorship, the Ten Commandments is a good guide, but we have someone greater, and that's the Holy Spirit. He responds based upon the Word of God. So in other words, the more the Word of God you know, the more the Holy Spirit of God can instruct you. The less the Word of God you know, the less the Spirit of God can instruct you. Because he's not going to teach you contrary to the Word of God. Amen. And I mentioned this, how can we cut evil or avoid evil itself in the appearance of it, or at least minimize it? And we said we've got to cut the known sin and keep or protect our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, if we protect our hearts from indecent exposure to sin, it'll make a world of difference because my heart dictates and tells me what I ought to do. Amen. And your heart works with your mind. And the heart and the mind work together to form your decisions. And so if your heart's wicked, guess what? Your life's going to be wicked. Amen. Why? It's going to tell you what to do. And so we talked about that last week, things to cut in the censorship. Today, we're going to talk about things to curtail in the censorship. Things to curtail in the censorship. Now, unlike the first category of things to cut, those things are just out and out sin. It's just out and out sin. Hey, you ought not do that. By the way, you ought not lie. You ought not steal. You ought not murder. You ought not commit adultery. You ought not lie, bear false witness. You ought not to take the Lord's name in vain. You ought not have any other God. Those are things that we know. That's just sin. We know that. But now today are things that you may need to curtail in the censorship or cut down on. Say, preacher, why? These are suspected sins or things that slow, hinder, or enslave us. I say that again. These are suspected sins or things that slow, hinder, or enslave us. These are things that may not be sins. Hear me now. It may not be sin, but they can stall or slow our walk with God. Not necessarily sin. And it can slow or stall my walk with God or my work for God physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, socially, testimonial, and on we can go. Let's see some words on this. Go to Hebrews chapter number 12. See some New Testament encouragement here. Many of you know where I'm going already. Hebrews chapter number 12. And what am I talking about here? The book of Hebrews is written to the Jews and detailing to them that there is no one greater than Jesus Christ. And they need Jesus, and there is no other sacrifice for their sins other than Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews is encouraging them to go on to better and greater works for Christ. So when you look at the book of Hebrews, it's written to them and it's written for them, but it's written for our admonition as well. Chapter 11 has just covered the hall of faith, as you would call it, amen. All the people that stood by faith. And you see over and over again, chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in the place where he should receive, after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Come down to verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Coming down now to verse number 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Go down to verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. By the way, in all this stellar people, you have a harlot. Isn't God good? To show us that he don't care who you are, where you come from, or what you did. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he can make something out of your life. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you and testify that God is good to me. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to be up here. I don't deserve to have the word of God. I don't deserve to have the privilege to speak on behalf of God. But like the harlot Rahab, I had faith. And I had faith in a good God. And a good God chose to use me. If he'll use a harlot, he'll use anybody. If he'll use a drug addict and a drunkard like me, he'll use anybody. You just have to be willing to trust him. And this harlot is placed here by faith. It says she's perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Amen. And so on and on he goes and talks about all these people that are down here. Notice verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and the prophets. And so he closes this chapter out with all these people and what they did by faith. By the way, if they were writing for the New Testament, would your name be there? Would your name be there? By faith, Christian so-and-so did this. By faith. Hey, I can tell you this. The members of Shining Light Baptist Church would go down. By faith, we trusted God to give us this building. And guess what? By faith, he gave it to us. All of Shining Light members' names can go down, and by faith, they trusted God. I'm glad you didn't trust me. Amen. Now, I'll let you down. But I'm glad we put our faith and trust in God. I had to put my faith in God. Lord, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Hey, the armies of Egypt are coming as we're at the Red Sea. Hey, God, it doesn't look like this is going to happen. But God showed up, and it happened. The Red Sea parted and they went across. Amen. God gave us $495,000 and the building was bought. Hallelujah and praise God. What am I saying? By faith. And so he opens up chapter 12 and he says, hey, you Jews, let me tell you something. Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, knowing who's in chapter number 11, the setting for verse 1 is a big race with spectators. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, he counts himself, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us, notice that, run with patience the race that is set before, who's that? Us. The writer counts himself and he says, hey, look, we need to lay aside our ways. We need to lay aside this sin. We need to run this race with patience. It's set before us. And so the writer here begins to let them know. The spectators are from chapter 11. And I'm encouraging you to go on knowing you're being watched, knowing who went before you, knowing who trusted by faith. Run your race for God. But he says, wait a minute, you can't run it successfully if you got some things. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Who's my people from last week? G2, come up here. Joshua, come up here. Terrell, come up here. Because the setting for the verse is a big race. So y'all get up there, y'all about to race. All right. The setting is a big race. But he says, let us lay aside every weight. Weight there means a mass or a burden or a hindrance. And so I've got to censor some weights or some masses or some burdens or some hindrances. Weight is not necessarily a sin. It can be for sure, but it's not always. So we're going to run down here. On your march, get set, stop. I got to give y'all some weights. Gregory, take this. No, you taller, Terrell. You take this. There you go. All right, you sit on top of your head so you can see. All right. If you break it, your dad paid for it. Here's your weight. All right, y'all got a race down there. You don't get one. March, set, go. All right, we're going to go back. All right, we got to give you some more weight, G2. Oh, keep that weight. But you got this weight, too. Ready? All right, get your feet. Run the race with patience. March. Take off. Now, Terrell, what happened? It's heavy. You know why it's heavy? It's a weight. Let's take that weight off you. Let's give it to G2. You handle that? No, I'm not going to give that. That'll break you down. Amen. What's the point I'm making here? The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Terrell says, look, I got this big chair. Is that chair sin? There's nothing sinful about that chair at all. Are these things sin? I mean, Gregory had he had a tough time, amen. He actually put one in Joshua's way to get him out the way. Get out of here, Joshua, amen. These things are not sins. But you know what they are? The weights. And the Bible says, hey, Hebrews, hey, Christians, if you're going to run this race, let us lay aside every weight. Why? These are going to slow you down. These aren't sins. But this can slow you down. Just like it slowed Terrell down and slowed G2 down. Joshua almost beat you. Amen. And by the way, G2 normally races, and he normally runs a lot faster. But Josh was almost neck and neck with him. What am I saying? Thank you, man. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Which brings me to a thought that I want you to ponder for the next moment. If my Bible says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, if other people are watching, if the saints that have gone before are watching, and I need to run this race, he says, let us, including himself, lay aside every weight. There are certain things that I need to get rid of, and I've got to ask myself, what are some of my weights that I need to get rid of? It's not necessarily sin. What is that thing or things that eat up my time away from God? And what is that thing that eats up my time away from God and better things for God? My time waster. What is my weight? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. For many, it might be TV. TV in and of itself is not sinful. It's what you allow to come across it. You have the control of your television, not Hollywood. Somebody say amen. Well, they don't put out anything but foul stuff. You don't have to watch it. You do have the power to turn it off. You do have the power to turn the channel. You don't have to watch it. Well, I'd be stuck just watching Disney. You can't even watch all of Disney. Some Disney will get you all up in the way. What is my time waster? What is my way? For some, it's TV. For some, it's internet. I hear you, Jeff. For some, it's internet. I spend too much time on the internet. It's a way. It's not necessarily sin unless you're watching something that is sin. Maybe I just spend too much time on the internet. Maybe it's your phone. The average person that I see walks around like this. I can see some people, I come up and talk to them, they reach in their pocket real quick. You know you ain't talking to nobody. They see me come with a gospel tract in my hand. I'll say, let me see who you're talking to. It probably would be a dial tone. I ain't talking to nobody. The average person wants to hide behind their phone or their device because they don't want to talk to anybody. Somebody say amen. We know it's true. We'd rather talk to an internet buddy or someone that can't respond to me or text to someone that's out there than to have some personal skills and talk to somebody in person. They might actually tell me I need to get right with God. Amen. So maybe for you, it's your phone. Maybe it's your web browsing. You spend way too much time browsing the web. Here's one. Maybe for you, it's Facebook. Amen. You spend more time on the Facebook than in the Bible book. Amen. Imagine if you invested the time in the Bible book that you invested in the Facebook. Amen. I got to put this in a Johnny rolled off the couch. Oh, look at little Johnny. Oh, look, he crawled back on. Let me post that. He crawled back on the couch. Oh, he fell off again. Look at that. Oh, he put back up there again. You have just spent 40 minutes with little Johnny rolling off and on the couch. Now, I'm not against posting stuff on the web for in-laws and folks to see. I'm not against that. But you have to understand, is that a weight? Are you putting more time in the Facebook than in the Bible book? Because then it's a problem. It's a problem. Some of the stuff that's posted out there. Say, preacher, do you have an account? Heavens no. Am I saying something's wrong with it? I'm not saying that at all. The church has actually got a Facebook account. People don't like to go through it, don't they? Might get right with God. What am I saying here? You have to look at what's a weight for you. Facebook, posting, reading, blogging, sports may be your weight. I spend too much time watching sports or doing sports. Maybe hobbies is my weight. I spend too much time crocheting or making blankets or whatever, amen. Entertainments or music, amen. You've got to ask yourself, what is my weight? He says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed by with a great cloud of witnesses, people have gone before us. They've done this before. By faith they did it. Let us lay aside every weight. Then he says, and the sin. By the way, let me just be honest with you. When it comes to weights, I've got my weights. Say, preacher, what are some of your weights? Some of you know my weights already. Planning for me can be a weight. You say, but planning is a good thing, not when you do it all the time. Planning can be a weight for me. Why? I want everything planned, and I want it all structured, and I want it all, and I spend a lot of time planning, and it can take good time for God away because I'm planning. Pastor Bennett told me one time, Brother Dawes, you're going to plan the Holy Spirit right out of your life. And I was like, no, I ain't. I fit him in there somewhere. There he is right there. I want you to be in front of my day to guide me. Amen. Yeah, but you left him there. He called me out on it. And praise God he did. My boss called me out on it. He said, Dawson, you plan too much. I said, but I'm trying to, you know, make sure these things are all right. He said, yeah, but you planned that thing about 10 times already. I said, but I had to go back and tweak it for these, you know, this and that may happen, and this may happen, and this may. I got all these contingency plans. For me, planning can be a weight. For me, organizing can be a weight. It can be a weight for me. Why? I like things organized. I like things orderly. And I can spend my time organizing and I know Brother Hall, bless his heart. He used to be, come in here, I see specks on the floor, I'm picking up specks off the floor. And Brother Hall said, we'll get that, Pastor. Leave them specks alone, amen. But I see a speck, you know my OCD kicks in. Speck, must pick up speck, must pick up speck. And it's not about the specks, it's about the spirit.
But my planning and my organizing get the best, and it can become a weight. And I know it. I've got to give it to the Spirit. Hey, picking up things, organizing for me. Organizing closets, drawers, books, DVDs. Everything's got to have a label showing, and it's got to be this way. You say, preacher, you ate up, amen. You got your sins too, so leave me alone. I got it bad, it ain't good, amen. Go through there, the kids see me coming. Oh! You know what dad's going to say? Put this stuff back in there. Who put this in here? Man, it looks good. Oh, yeah, I did that. I did that. Most of the time, it's who put this in here? Oh, you only got 10 labels front. 11 labels supposed to be front. Put that label front. And I'm bad, and I know it. You know what? I waste more time doing that sometimes. I was at the conference last week, and the guy was preaching, and man, just cut me to the heart. He said, you know, the Christian life is not about paperwork. It's about people work. And I thought, oh, just slay me, why don't you? Ooh. He slayed me, and I thought, glory to God. Of course, then I had to justify it. Then who's going to do the paperwork? Hey, folks, what am I saying? All of us have weights. I don't know what your weight is, but I know the Bible says you need to lay it aside. You got to lay it aside. The weight is not necessarily a sin. It can be, and it can become sin to you, but it's not always a sin. It's going to slow you down, though. It's going to slow you down. He said, lay aside every weight, the burdens, the hindrances. Then he says, and the sin. Sin is a sin, amen. He said, in the censorship, you're going to censor some weights, you're going to censor some sins. For the Jews, their sin was unbelief. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Notice this, and the sin. He's calling it out because for them, the sin for them was unbelief. And he's writing to them about their unbelief, saying, you need to believe. Your belief is unbelief, amen? And you've got to work on that sin, and your sin is unbelief. So he says, lay aside every weight, the things that's hindering you, the things you're trusting in that aren't sin, lay it aside. And the sin, which is unbelief, which does so easily beset us. What is your sin that besets you? Is it lust? Is it unforgiveness? Is it drunkenness, immorality, fornication, lying, stealing, pride? You go on, the list is there. And then there's an interesting word here. Joshua and Terrell, come here a second. And G2. There's an interesting word here. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily, what's that word? Beset us. The word beset means it's a competitor hindering a racer in every direction, slowing down his progress. So I'm in the middle here. Joshua, you right here. Terrell, you right here. Gregory, you right here. And so I've got somebody on every side. You block this way, you block that way, you block this way. So in other words, if I'm being beset, I'm trying to lay aside every weight. I'm trying to lay aside the sin, and they're besetting me. They're hindering me from going where I want to go. So I'm blocked in here. I'm blocked in here. I'm blocked in here. I'm blocked in here. So guess where I end up going? In a circle. And that a lot of Christians are going around in circles. You've got weights, you've got sins, and you're going around in circles. I wonder why I can't grow. Because you can't go. When you go, you grow. But if you're going around in circles, amen, you ain't doing nothing but wearing a path. And you're getting dizzy. Well, I'm so tired. We never see anything different. The same old thing. We never do anything different. Same old thing. This Christian life is so boring. We same thing. All I see are these people and this stuff. Why don't you get out of that rut? Lay aside some sins. Lay aside some weights. And go and see something different for a change. Why don't you go and explore some things? Why don't you let God speak to your heart? Why don't you get out of the rut, amen? That's all we do. The same old thing. God never speaks to me. Seems like he's speaking to everybody else. I don't think he lives on my street. I read my Bible. I even tried to memorize a half a verse. Same old stuff. Hey, what am I saying? The word beset is very interesting because he's talking about a race. And he's saying in this race, if you've got weights, if you've got sin, they're going to thwart you. They're going to hinder you. And you're not going to be able to go anywhere. And you're going to call God unfair. Christian life. Maybe I need to change churches. It ain't going to help. No, you're going to take yourself there. Maybe I need to unfriend some people. It ain't going to help. You still the same person. Maybe I need to get a new phone. It ain't going to help none. Maybe a new preacher. It ain't going to help none. Maybe I need to get a divorce. It ain't going to help none. You still have you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Thank you, son. Intro. The word beset means, hey, there's something standing in my way. Our weights and sins will hinder our progress for God. So we need to curtail these things in the censorship. What am I saying? He says, you know what? There's some things to curtail in the censorship. There's some weights that you have. There's some things that you're doing. There's some principles that you need to get a hold of. Because if you don't get a hold of these things, they will hinder you and you will call God unfair. Amen. Hey, the people in chapter 11 were not hindered. You know what? They made progress. By faith they did this. By faith they did this. They went through the Red Sea. They went into the lion's den. They did great things for God. But if you and I don't lay aside these weights and the sin, it will continue to beset us. And we'll call God unfair. We'll blame it on everybody else. It's your fault that I'm not going where I need to go. Say, preacher, what's the cure for curtailing in the censorship? Verse number 2. I like what principle of sanctification is shown here, because the principle of sanctification rings out. Notice what he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience means cheerful endurance, a hold out, amen, a run the race that is set before us. Notice it's your individual race. It's not my race that you're trying to run, amen. When it comes down to the censorship, you cannot run somebody else's race. You cannot censor someone else's life. You can only censor your own life. You can only run your own race. If you try to run somebody else's race, if you ever run track and you get it out of the line, you are disqualified. You run track and step outside of that line. You're trying to hand that baton off and you go past that little block. What happens? Disqualified. That's why you see some of those racers come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. They know there's a line there. They can't pass it. Come on, come on, come on. Say, preacher, you got experience that. Yeah, I do. We had some slow people. Well, I mean, we had some people that weren't as fast on our team. Amen. And you're standing there. You're like, and you're watching these people go past you. Zoom, zoom. You're like, come on, come on, come on, you slow turtle. Come on, come on. Is that the way we do Christian? Come on, come on, you slow Christian. These other people are passing us. Give me that. Christians don't go. But what did I say? This is individual. This is about you. This is about me. This is about your censorship. This is about your relationship with God. Let us run our race. Hey, folks, I should be there to encourage you, yes, but I can't run your race. You can't run my race. You can't censor my life. I can't censor your life. I cannot tell you what's your weight. I can tell you what my weight is. And you can say, preacher, I'm praying for you, man. That organization, that's OCD, man. You got it bad, amen. I say, yeah, I do. I need you to pray for me. Hey, what am I saying? Notice what he says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the races, and looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is the goal? The goal is not to censor my sin to the point where I can't look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The goal is to look to Jesus and run. Anybody tell you if you try to run straight looking this way, it's not going to happen. And you try to run straight looking this way, it's not going to happen. And worse, if you try to run this way looking back that way, disaster is going to happen. I have not seen any track star yet that has won a race looking behind them. The Bible never says looking behind you to Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, what is he? The author and finisher of our faith. What am I saying? If I'm going to curtail some things in the censorship, I've got to make sure that I'm looking to Jesus and letting go my weights, letting go my sin, because I cannot be successful looking to Jesus and holding my sin. It doesn't work. What am I saying? I'm going to sail into censorship. There's some things that I definitely got to cut out. But then there's some things that I got to curtail. I've got to make sure that what I'm doing, I'm not wasting time. I've got to run my race. I can't be busy looking at somebody else's race and running their race and trying to run for them. Now, you can encourage them. You can cheer them on. Yay, go, Christian, go. Don't call them a slow turtle. Go, Christian, go. Hey, you can do this. Come on, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Hey, if you know your husband's weights, pray for him. If you know your wife's weights, pray for her. If you know your children's weights, pray for them. Encourage them. Anybody can talk about them. But it takes somebody godly to pray for them and encourage them. Anybody can talk about them. Help them. Show them. But most of all, love them. Principle of sanctification. The goal is keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. There are some things that the writer says you need to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what did Jesus do? He said, the joy that was set before him, that was going to come after the cross. You know what? You and I need to look beyond the cross of this life. What's going to come afterwards? What's going to come after the censorship? What's going to come after I censor some things? What's going to come after I lay aside the weight? What's going to come after I lay aside the sin? What's going to come after I continue to go and abide in the ship? What's going to come? He said he endured the shame. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. He said, if Jesus could do it, we can do it. We can do it. What am I saying? We're going to have to curtail some things. So you got these witnesses, they're spectators, they're watching. Hey, church members are watching, family members are watching, friends are watching. Lay aside the weights. They may not be sin, but they may slow you down. But then there is a sin, he says, it's going to beset you. It's going to thwart you on all sides. And you will not be able to, Paul put it this way, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What am I saying, folks? You and I, we need to pray for each other that we can get the right vision of the Lord Jesus Christ to make the right cuts and make the right curtailments in our censorship. Everybody's going to be different. You're not going to cut what I'm going to cut, maybe. You're not going to curtail what I'm going to curtail. Now, if it's sin, we ought to cut it. If it's sin, we ought to cut it. But your cuts and your curtailments are going to be based upon what you know about Jesus Christ and what he wants you to do. Don't look at me and try to do what I do. You don't have my faith. I don't have your faith. I don't have the faith of chapter 11, but I've got my faith. And God says, run your race. Do what I'm asking you to do. You run what I'm asking you to do. What do you say? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Folks, let me tell you this. One race that we're all racing right now is the race of life. And friend, if you don't have eternal life, you're on the losing side already. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest race. Now, when we get saved, he puts us in this race to be a witness for him. But friend, before you ever get in that race, you're in a race against time right now. And you don't know when you're going to die. We talked in Sunday school about your flesh's funeral. Nobody knows when they're going to die. And except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, folks, before we begin this race, we need to have the race of eternal life settled. It's got to be settled. God loves you. God wants to save you. Hey, we read about the harlot Rahab. If he could save her, he can save you. I was a drunkard and a druggie. If he can save me, he can save you. And he put me in a race. And he says, now I want you to lay aside every weight and sin, Greg, and I want you to look unto me. I'm your author. I'm your finisher. Look what I did. I despised the cross. I endured all these things. I'm set at the right hand of the Father, so just keep your eyes on me. But when you turn your head, that appears to be evil, you better get your eyes back on me. That appears, you better get your eyes. Run your race. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. Run your race. Lay aside those weights. Lay aside that sin. What is it that you need to lay aside today? What is it that you need to cut today? What is it that you need to curtail? I don't know what it is, but I believe God will show you if you ask him. What slows you down for Jesus Christ? Curtail it. I'm not saying you got to cut all your TV and I'm not saying curtail it. Just like you would do your children, curtail it. We're all children of God if we're saved. Curtail it. If it appears to be evil, abstain from it. If it's not sin, curtail it. Cut it down, son. Make sure that it's not weighing you down. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Help us today, Lord. Some of us have to cut some things, possibly. Some maybe have to curtail some things. Lord, I don't know who has to do what. I know what I have to do. I've got my own issues of curtailment that I need to work on. Lord, I do pray that each one of us would have our own eyes open. We would see what you would have us to do. And whether cuts or curtailments, laying aside weights or sins, help us to do exactly that. And help us, Lord, not to be beset, to be boxed in on every side, thwarted, not able to do what we need to do. And help us to run with patience, our own race, not be concerned with someone else's race. Keeping our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. And help us do just that. When we fail, when we fall, Lord, thank you for being there to pick us back up. You said we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it cleanses of all unrighteousness. So help us, Lord. We look at that which is evil. When we hold that which is evil, and we go in the direction of that which is evil, help us, Lord, to confess it and get right back on track and run the race. Going to our destination, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for blessing today. Help us as we make decisions for Jesus Christ. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around, perhaps today you would say, preacher, I need to be saved. If I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not quite sure. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you are, just raise your hand, lift it up high. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. There's a chance I may go to hell, but I don't want to go there. I want to go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone like that at all? Amen. Christian, how about you? Is there something you need to curtail today? Maybe something you need to lay aside. It's not necessarily a sin. Maybe it's a weight. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord about it? Maybe it is a sin. You need to cut that. And you need to run with patience the race. The altar will be open in a minute. You can come and pray and say, Lord, help me with my sins that I need to cut. Help me with my weights I need to curtail. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Just for a moment. As Miss Natasha plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. You need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray and say, Lord, help me with my cutting. Help me with my curtailments into discipleship. As the music plays, God spoke in your heart. Don't move. Don't wait for someone else. Don't look around and see who's going and who's not going. God spoke to your heart. You move. Lord, you spoke to my heart about running my own race, not to be concerned with someone else. You move. Maybe there's some curtailments you need to make today. Why don't you move? Maybe there's a weight you need to let go of. Maybe it's internet. Maybe it's TV. Maybe it's browsing. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's a sport. Or maybe it's a hobby, entertainment, music, television, whatever it is. A preacher, God spoke to my heart. I've got to curtail some things. Maybe you're like me, you've got some planning, organizing, picking up. Maybe you've got some issues that it's just wasting your time. It's just wasting your time. It's not necessarily sin, but it's something that you don't need to invest so much time in. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe someone that you know has that thing going on. Maybe you need to come and pray for them. Abide in the censorship, things to cut, things to curtail. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It surrounds us. It boxes us in. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Would you come? God spoke in your heart. Would you come? Perhaps you need to be saved today. We're waiting. You're a man, we'll get a man to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman to show you how to be born again. Would you come? God spoke in your heart. Perhaps you say, preacher, I'm born again already. I need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to come. Surrender for baptism. By the way, surrendering for baptism puts you into the fellowship of the brethren. Whatever it is. Maybe God's called you to a special place of ministry. You say, preacher, I believe God wants me to do this. Perhaps you say, preacher, this is the place where God would have me to place my membership. We have people to show you what you need to do. Be a member of the Shining Light Baptist Church. God is good. God is good. Abide in the censorship. Father, thank you. You've been a great God to us. Lord, thank you for showing me weights in my own life. And Lord, showing me sins in my own life. And Lord, allowing me to still look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And thank you, Lord, that I can continue to go in the direction of the cross of Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Thank you, Lord, for the great cloud of witnesses that we had before us in chapter 11. And Lord, thank you so much for just being a great God and Lord, watching over us. Thank you for the Shining Light Baptist Church and the membership that is here and the many witnesses that we have before us. And Lord, help us to continue to run with patience and not be beset by the weights and the sins. But Lord, when we fall, when we are beset, oh Lord, I'm so glad that we can come back to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and ask for forgiveness and continue on the road of life. Bless now, Lord, as we dismiss and have your hands upon us in a special way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me have your attention before.